Chapter 3. The Misery Index. On the day I graduated from Duke with a BS in zoology, I felt both liberated from a school system I had grown to loathe and concerned that I had no skills and no clue what to do next. I headed to San Francisco, lived rent-free with some friends from Detroit, and floated around the city, up and down the coast, and through the nearby parks and forests. Eventually, I began looking for work, but was, fortunately, unable to find a job. I say fortunately because I'd been reading Ivan Illich's book, The Right to Useful Unemployment, and was struck by what he wrote about society's misery index. In classical economics, the misery index is a real thing, at least insofar as anything in classical economics is a real thing. An economic indicator developed by American economist Arthur Oaken, the misery index has been in use since the Truman administration and is calculated, roughly, by adding the unemployment rate to the inflation rate. A higher number on the index indicates a higher rate of societal misery. According to the misery index, Americans were far less miserable under President Johnson, 6.77, President Kennedy, 7.14, and President Clinton, 7.8, than we were under President Ford, 16.00, and President Carter, 16.26. The greatest increases in societal misery occurred under Presidents Nixon and Carter, and the greatest decreases in societal misery occurred under Presidents Reagan and Truman. Illich's perspective on the whole thing was different. If you want to calculate the misery index for a society, the most important rate to factor in is the employment rate. In traditional and indigenous cultures, rapidly declining in number though they are, few people hold jobs, and yet many people are quite happy. In industrialized countries, and countries that are frantically trying to become industrialized, however, there are high levels of employment and also high rates of misery. We see this bearing out today. It's just that it is being measured in a different way. For example, the World Health Organization predicts that by 2020, depression will be the second leading cause of the global burden of disease. And there is growing evidence that depression is a disease of modernity. A 2012 study found that the growing burden of chronic diseases, which arise from an